about the matter of trials, problems, tribulations. I guess I'll make a distinction when I say it. We're going to teach about trials. I don't mean like when you leave late and you get out to the car and there's a flat tire. Yeah, that's a problem. Yeah, that's something you have to deal with. But really, it doesn't qualify as a trial of your life. It's just one of them things. And I had a friend who, his response to that sort of thing was, just deal with it, okay? And we're talking about trials, the bigger things, the larger things that happen in our life. And trials are the processes that God uses to develop us into the likeness of Christ. In the book of Romans chapter 8, we are told that we are to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And he uses trials to do. He uses other things, but he definitely uses trials. Many of the other things that he uses to teach us are not a problem to us. But trials and tribulations, they are just that. We never know what graces or qualities we truly possess until the test comes. And then faith and courage that was bright in times of enthusiasm finds its true level. It is at times that we see our true selves when we are in trials. And we should be thrown to the help of Jesus Christ. This was the meaning of Jacob's trials. Jacob, remember, he was traveling. I'm going to shorten it up and just say he was traveling. And he was sleeping. And God came to him as an angel. I believe it was the Lord Jesus Christ. And appeared as an angel. And fought with him. And Jacob said, tell me your name. And he didn't do it. And he said, Jacob said, I'll not let you go until you tell me your name. And that angel touched him in the hollow of his thigh. And recently I pointed out that a doctor explained that the sinew of the hip joint is the strongest part of the human body. And that when so applied, it would take a horse to tear it apart, okay? And so God touched him at the strongest point of his body, and the rest of his life, he limped, as we would call it. And so, but Jacob found out just what he could or couldn't do. And the purpose was to stop his self-righteous confidence. And you know the life of Jacob, you know that he had a big dose of that. Now, trials are valuable in that they reveal to ourselves just where we are, just what we are, what our sufficiencies or insufficiencies are. And that was a blessing that came to Peter. remember, Peter ended up denying the Lord when he spoke so glowingly of himself earlier, and that broke his pride and all of his self-sufficiency, and it sent him in the direction of leaning on the Lord instead of himself. And you know, when you're desiring to live for God, when you want to do right and you want to live for God, and a trial comes, it can be hard to distinguish between my being self-sufficient, because I'm wanting to do right. You know, I want to please God, and therefore we go ahead and we endeavor to deal with this trial. But God knows if we're being self-sufficient or if we're truly depending on him. And that's when he can allow that trial, like with Jacob and like with Peter, to reveal to us our true self and where we are. And this is why the Lord allows trials and tribulations to inflict our lives. It's to remove this self-sufficiency and the self-righteous confidence. Like I say, our desire is to do right. Our desire is to be right. But there's a fine line when it's us doing it and not really are living on and depending on Christ. And you say, I'm not sure I understand that distinction. Then God will show it to you. God will reveal that to you when your desire is to live for Him and to please Him. We need to be concerned that we're doing this with the right motives, okay? With the right intentions and goals. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 is a familiar scripture. I'm going to quote just one line from it where Paul said, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And that's indeed what it must be. Not I, but Christ. When we're being bad, when we're being obviously selfish, when we're choosing to do things that we know God isn't overly happy with, but they aren't the worst things that ever existed even in our life, we know that. We know when we're doing wrong then. But I'm talking about those times when troubles and trials come and we're wanting to live for God. We're wanting to please God. That's when we need to be certain that we're getting our help and strength from God and not just our own goodness. Trials make Christ real in our life, just as real as the trouble is. Now, again, that's something that talks easy, all right? That you can say that, and it's true, but when it comes to living it, okay, God cuts and burns His life into our human life. Yeah, that's right. He cuts and burns. Now, cutting and burning, that's not a pleasant thing, is it? Of course not. But that's what He needs to do to get into our lives and in control of our lives. Now, there's one big necessity that we have, and that is don't rebel. When you're going through a trial, you're going through a tribulation, and you begin to see God work, and you thought you were handling it okay, and then you begin to see things differently, don't rebel. Don't resist God's working in your life. Trials are an occasion for victory. And that's true. Trials are an occasion for victory. I got another thought I'm going to give you on that. But right now, Book of Romans chapter 8. Book of Romans chapter 8. I'm looking at verse 37. Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Amen. We conquer through Him. And he says here, you know, this is the passage, verse 35, who shall separate from the love of Christ, shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, and nay, and all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Look at verse 28, back to 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. It is easy to quote that, and it's accurate to quote it, but it's not easy to live it. And it's when we're able to genuinely live it, not just quote it, and in our own effort, conform our life to that. Oh, well, yeah, we know all things work together for good. that flat tire this morning, you know, God knew there was probably an accident down the road. Yeah, there might have been, but that's not the big deal. Okay, that's not the thing. We know all things. Now, all things. What are some of the all things he's talking about? Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine? What would it be like to live with famine? What would we you know, even the poorest of us have more than enough. What would it be like if there was literally two or three cans in your cupboard? Shall famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Verse 36, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. As an illustration of this, I guess we could go to Ukraine and see where getting food in to feed the people is a big challenge. Where do they live? At most in subways and under other underground facilities, because it's the only place that's relatively safe from the bombing. He says in 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Trials win us eternal crowns. They are the occasion for victory and reward. When history is forgotten and the records are obliterated, when the solar systems vanish away, the new heavens and the earth appear, the victories will remain, but the trials and tribulations will be gone. Sounds religious, doesn't it? Sounds like the sort of thing you might hear in this kind of church in a Sunday school lesson like this. But folks, it's true.
Amen.
It's true. And if we don't have the victories when we are with God Almighty, it is going to matter. You see, the situation is clear, and that is, I'm not worried about a victory. I just like to be able to get through this week or this month in my life. I don't know why the job has to be the way it is. God's got to have something better in store. I don't know why our family is the way it is. They're always fussing and fighting and nobody can get along. I'm not worried about victories. I just like everything to be peaceful. I'd like to feel a whole lot better. That's where we live. And I mean we, like us kind of Christians. We think like that. Quit always pointing the finger at the big bad guys in the mainline denominations. Until we can get the log out of our own eye.
Yes, sir.
Okay? The beam out of our own eye. Why should we worry about where they're at? When we stand before God Almighty, he ain't going to ask us, well, what did you think about them Lutherans? How are the people down there in Cuba at that Methodist church? He isn't going to ask us that. He's going to ask us about the people in the Black Creek Baptist Church.
Uh-oh.
And that's why we need to be concerned about the victories that we need to have here in our lives now. Trials teach us to know the resources of God. Here again, this is something that teaches easy, and it sounds good. You know why? Because it is good. Okay? This'd be a message. We could put this, other than live streaming, we could go national with this one. There's no point going national if we can't practice it locally. It is in the difficulties of life that we're driven to God for help. Israel was at the Red Sea when it learned God's provisions. And what did they have to do? Moses was given the instruction, tell the people, stand still. until they stood still, they were about ready to turn around and go back, fall on their knees in front of the chariots and the horses and the probably thousands of Egyptian soldiers that were coming to get them back. But God had a way. And they could never imagine the way out. And you and I cannot, when we're in that kind of a problem, we too cannot. And it's your problem. And I can't experience it like you can. You can tell me about it, and I can sympathize with you. And if I've even had that experience, I can empathize with you. But it's your problem. But God showed Israel a way out. He's adequate for every need. He showed them a way. How do we say it? Through the problem. Okay? And here again. Now that's true. And it's okay to say it. But think about what we're saying. Well, God doesn't want to remove the problem. He wants to take us through it. Oh, that's good. But it's so self-righteous when you're not experiencing a problem and somebody is. And so you come across in such a caring way by saying, well, you know, God isn't going to remove your problem, but he'll show you a way through. Just you watch. That's going to come back and bite you. Okay? You're gonna face it. And then some well-meaning Christian, and I'm serious about the well-meaning. I'm serious. They're going to come to you and they're going to say, you know, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. God will show you a way through. And you know what you're going to think? You won't say it to them because they're friends, they're a church person, and you really do like them, but you want to say, won't you just shut up? I'm trying to deal with this thing, and you aren't helping. That's where we're at. In my younger days, that's anything a year ago, Randy. In my younger days, there was a saying that was used, tell it like it is. Tell it like it is. That's what I'm trying to do. Because until God can get our attention, he can't give us the help that he intends to give us. Difficulties, let me tell you, this is going to sound good too. And it is good. Difficulties are the divine incentives which demand our confidence in the powers of God Almighty. Period. Yeah, oh boy. Now, what I just said is absolutely true. But it's another one of them things that's easy to say and hard to live. And what we need is to live it. I learned this in preparing for this message. The eagle can only teach her young to fly by tearing up the nest and thrusting the eaglet out into midair. And for a period of time, it looks like it's going to end in tragedy because that young eaglet is in a free fall. Got that picture in your mind visually? But then you know what happens if you've ever watched Discovery Channel or those like that with this. You'll see that young eaglet, it begins to flap its wings. Now, how did it know that those things on the side of it were intended to keep it from free fall? It begins to flap its wings. And it begins to fly enough to stop the free fall. And what looks like what was going to end in tragedy didn't happen, and eventually that eaglet is able to grow and it becomes like its mother. and can soar in the clouds. You can see the obvious picture, can't you? When we're facing a trial or a tribulation, and God lets it go in such a manner that it looks like we're in a free fall. It looks like this thing is going to be our demise. It appears like this thing is gone. I've endured a lot before, but this is the one that's going to do me in. We're in a free fall. And then what happens? Feeble faith begins to exert itself. And the free fall that you were certain was going to destroy you, you stop the free fall. You begin to use what faith you have. And that faith begins to work. Because it's in the faith and it's in your trust that you can grow. Trials are the soil of trust. And it's in trials that what little faith we have can grow and become more. And just like the eaglet had perhaps the image of its mother soaring in the clouds, we don't know, but it sounds good, okay? It fits the illustration. But you have people that you've seen use their faith. Whether it's a family member, a church person, whatever the situation or the individual, the relationship, you've seen them use their faith. And so you know that when you finally exert that little bit of faith, that's trust. The New Testament word is faith. The Old Testament word is trust. And so when you begin to have faith, you begin to trust God in this tribulation. It's then that you stop the free fall. The thing that could have and would have destroyed you. But because of faith, it took you through. I want to show you something else. 1 Corinthians, if you'll turn to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, when that mama eagle tears up the nest and thrusts the little baby out, you wonder. But listen, that mama eagle knew. That mama eagle understood. There was a time when that's what that mama eagle experienced. So it not only knew instinctively, but by its own experience. But look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he fall. We felt so certain, so good. 3 weeks ago we left church, we were on top of it. Because the message that was preached, we didn't have a lot of problems with it, okay? And we were just able to, if only in our mind, we were able to amen it constantly. But this week, man, pastor just tore up my nest, my life. And God just took those scriptures that he used and it's just, we go out of here with our chin on our chest, discouraged because of where we are or what we are. So wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. Verse 13, that's where I want you to be. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. These trials and tribulations we have, other people have had them. And when you begin to realize other people have gotten through them, you begin to realize I can get through this too. Ah, but I'm not getting through it. That's why I need God. I don't care that my brother had this problem. and survived it, I'm dying with it. Oh, but he used his faith. And if I use my faith, I'll probably survive too. Yeah. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer, permit you to be tempted above that you're able. And with the temptation, he'll make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. God has the ability to know each of us, and he knows the escape route for this problem. What we need to do is connect with God, plug in by our faith, trust God to show me how to live in this problem. Because it's true, he will not always remove it. There's times he does. And because he did that once 20 years ago, I've looked at every problem for the same thing to happen. But God has different things to achieve. Trials teach us to pray. Oh, to pray. God, what is it you want to achieve out of this? Psalm 91 is very apropos to this. Psalm 91. Now, we're not going to read the whole psalm, but he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, don't read that too fast. It's easy for me to read a verse like this that's so wonderful that I miss the key point. What's the focus word? He that dwelleth in the secret place. Yeah, I'm dwelling in Christ. I'm saved. Praise the Lord. I'm going to heaven, not hell. That's wonderful, and it is. But if I live in the secret place of the Most High, then I'll be able to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. In other words, I'll be under God's protection. Look at verse 15. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. You can read the whole psalm. It's a great psalm. But I also want you to see Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Philippians 3 and verse 10, where Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Yeah, I want to know him, but I don't want all the troubles I'm having. I'd like God to just stop all the troubles. Oh, you can get him to stop all the troubles, but you won't know the power of his resurrection.
No.
You won't know the fellowship that's to be had in his suffering.
Amen.
And you'll not be made conformable to the image of Jesus Christ, which image includes death. Psalm 31 verse 7 says, thou hast known my soul. We got to turn to that. Psalm 31. Hurry up. I'm out of time. Psalm 31. You'll probably be there before me. Psalm 31. And verse 7. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. How can we know God? How can we get God to know us? It's going to be in our troubles. One last one, Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We're not going to read the whole thing, fortunately. Psalm 119, verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I have kept thy word. You see, God keeps us in line with afflictions. God keeps us living right by allowing afflictions to come. But I'm not worried about that. I just don't want the afflictions. I just don't want the trouble. Okay, you can have that, but then you're not going to have a closeness to God. Some of you have been there already in your Christian life. You know what I'm talking about. Oh, you knew if you died, you'd go to heaven, but you didn't have the closeness of God. Now, look at verse 71, and it's the last one. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. That's where David was at. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. I'm always fearful of emphasizing something like I am. Because I know that God might just test me.
That's right, brother.
And say, Roger, it's true, but do you really know it? It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. I just went out of my trouble. Yeah, but God afflicts us so we can learn his statutes, his word, his way of living. That's God's goal. God's goal is usually different than our goal. Father in heaven, thank you for today. I pray you'd help us. Help me, Lord. You know my heart, but I'm not sure if I know my heart like you do. So I pray, dear Father, you use these words.